Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Studio, Ann Kirkpatrick, former congressional representative from CD1. She's here with us today, and she's running for election again. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. It was great to see Ann back, actually. It's again, and we're talking against Paul Gosar,
the
Republican dentist that's trying to do it now.
I think she's one of the most thoughtful people who was in Congress. What do we want to talk about today? How's the campaign going, Ann? What are you up to this time?
It's good, and thank you, Steve and Mike, for having me on this morning. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. You know, there's a lot of buyer's remorse. After the election, I started practicing law again in Flagstaff, and people coming up to me and saying, wait a second, you know, this isn't what we signed on to. Would you please run again? And, you know, having grown up with horses all my life, I said, well, it's not the first time I've been bucked off the horse, and the only thing I know how to do is get back in the saddle.
Good for you.
But I'll tell you, the defining moment for me was when Paul voted for the Ryan budget, which requires that seniors trade in their Medicare cards for vouchers. And I just can't stand by and let that happen.
And yet he's sending out flyers. Yeah. So, you know, I was talking about how he's saving Medicare.
Yeah,
well, it doesn't save
Medicare. Right,
you know, like, let's be honest here. I mean, the reason we have Medicare is because when you're over a certain age, you most likely have some kind of pre-existing condition.
Right.
And in the current insurance climate, that means you either pay exorbitant fees for premiums for your insurance, or you don't get coverage. So Medicare evens that playing field so people can afford some kind of care. If you trade in, tear up your Medicare card, and you take a voucher, say it's $10,000, well, good luck finding coverage when you're that age for $10,000 a year. But the other thing is that it's going to go up again. So the next year is $12,000. The next year is $15,000. How do you cover that gap? It just doesn't work, and it's not fair to our seniors.
Idea. It seems a truly terrible idea. But as Mike was saying, we get these brochures. We should thank Paul Gosar for saving Medicare.
Well, two things: the pre-Medicare poverty rate was 26% for senior citizens, and now it's 10%. And many people credit Medicare for that lowering the poverty rate for senior citizens. But what do we call when somebody says things that aren't true?
It's interesting. I recently saw Congressman Ben Ray Lujan from New Mexico, and he says, you know, I'm writing a new dictionary. And he said, when the Republicans say we're saving Medicare, that means vouchers. When they say that they're protecting the environment, that means uranium mining at the Grand Canyon. And so we've got to be talking about what that really means, and we're doing it at a very grassroots level. House meetings, and people are coming, and they're engaged, and they want to talk about solutions.
Right.
What do we do to protect our environment?
What kind of questions are they asking you when you have a house meeting? You're talking about 20 or 20 people, 30 people, something like that?
Sure. And they're concerned about jobs. How do we do? So it's not just about, we all know we need to get folks back to work. How do we do that?
What can government do about that?
And there are some things that government can do, but I've always said it's the American people who are going to turn this economy around. And what I see now is the American people feeling empowered that, in fact, they can do that. And so what's happening at our House meetings is they're coming up with great ideas and solutions, and I'm listening. And that's what government can do. But one thing I think that's really important is that, you know, government needs to help us protect our natural resources. We worked very hard on the National Scenic Area designation, very hard here in Sedona. That creates jobs because it protects a natural resource that brings tourists to the area.
That's absolutely true.
Same thing with the Grand Canyon.
Big local
protecting
issue.
Protecting the Grand Canyon, yeah.
Big local issue,
right.
The National Scenic Area and how close it. And you are in favor of...
Absolutely. It's the first bill that I will introduce after my reelection. It's ready to go. It's a good bill, and it will be introduced.
Paul Gosar said he's not interested in it. For folks outside the Sedona area, the National Scenic Area preserves the area around Sedona. If you haven't been to Sedona, it's a spectacularly beautiful place.
It's actually a really simple piece of legislation. I mean, it doesn't go on for 20 pages. It goes on a page and a half, I think.
Yeah, that's because I wrote it.
Oh, all right. It's clear.
It is.
We don't call it simple.
But Gosar has supported uranium mining at the Grand Canyon?
Yes. You know, and that's an issue, Steve, I feel very passionate about. You know, the Grand Canyon is an international treasure. And again, you know, millions of people come to the Grand Canyon.
Absolutely.
You know, that's jobs to Arizona. And opening up to uranium mining is not the answer. We are stewards of treasures in Arizona that we have to protect, but that create jobs because tourists come here. Now, tourism is not the answer to everything in Arizona. I think we've got a great opportunity. What I'd like to see is a diversified, sustainable economy mm-hmm. in Arizona that's not dependent on just one or two sectors.
How do we do that?
Tourism is one of them. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a great opportunity with biomedicine. You know, and it's very interesting that Arizona we sort of became populated because people came here for health care. For health concerns. You talk to so many people who tell me their family moved here because of some kind of medical condition. So I think it's great that now we're taking the lead in biomedicine. The universities have embraced that. We're seeing ASU, U of A doing some very exciting things. I think the other thing is alternative energy. So we've got a great opportunity to embrace wind and solar in Arizona. And you know, do the manufacturing for those wind turbines, those solar panels here, and create jobs.
So natural resources, biomedicine, and alternative energy.
And education. Yeah, the most important thing is we've got to invest in education. We've got to make sure that our children, who are our future, are prepared to lead us in the kinds of jobs that are going to be 21st century jobs. So when I say it's all about jobs, I don't mean part-time jobs, you know, fast food jobs. I mean good paying jobs. That's what we're striving for, that support families, middle class working families.
I think the legislature here sometimes seems to think it can compete for the lowest wages possible, and
somehow that's good for business.
Arizona wages are never going to be lower than wages in Vietnam, and that's where the one end of the jobs is going to end up. So we have to have jobs that will actually support a family. Go to work, you make enough money, you have enough medical insurance to support your family, you have a secure retirement ahead of you, you pay your taxes, you put your money into the Medicare and Social Security, and you expect a decent retirement at the end of this.
That's who we are as Americans. And, you know, it's disturbing to me that the gap between the extremely wealthy and the middle class, the working class, has never been greater in this country. And that's what we're about. We're about closing that gap and making it possible. It's so interesting to me that almost weekly I talk to somebody who's working four or five jobs to support their family.
I know people who are bitter because they're working full time and they're say a single mom and have a kid and they're on food stamps even
right.
though they're working 40 plus hours a week.
Right. You know, last year I was at the food kitchen up in Flagstaff, and I wasn't seeing people, homeless people who were living in the woods. I was seeing working families who were saying, talking to each other and saying, you know, do you know where I can get another job? I'm working part-time, but I need more. And so that's what we're striving for, is to get those good full-time jobs. So that people can support their families.
In fact, we should say that, folks, the point Ann's making. Support your local food bank. There are food banks yes. everywhere. Donate food to your food banks. I hear they're running low on food. Please donate to them. You can find them, I guess, on the internet now, where you can find everything else.
I just stopped by a shelter over the weekend. We'd had a breakfast meeting, had some donuts left over, and just stopped by and dropped them off. And I was talking to the man who runs the shelter, and he said they're at capacity every night.
Demand is high.
Yeah, demand is high.
So there's lots of contrast this time between the candidates. You've done a good job of pointing out the contrast.
There is.
Between.
People are going to have a choice.
For sure. And the score is 3-1. You've been elected to office three times, and Gosar went in on an anti-Obama vote once. So
what I think is interesting, I mentioned this to you beforehand, is that you were independent. You weren't in the Progressive Caucus. You weren't in the Blue Dog Caucus. You struck a completely independent path
right.
in the House of Representatives. And yet when it came to the election, none of that mattered at all. They just rolled over you.
In 2012, I think that's extremely admirable. But,
Well, and it's who I am, and it's who I'll continue to be. I mean, I was born and raised in this district. It's the only home I've ever known, and that's what it's about to me. So I'm probably the most unlikely person to ever be in politics. And when I was first approached in 2004 to run for the legislature, everybody said, you're going to lose. But my law partner said, you're going to lose, but it's going to be great for business. So that's why I ran. But,
well, that's it.
In fact,
segue.
I did win.
You did win, and you won well. I have the segue here is perfect. I have the note here that you're a good and decent and compassionate person. What are you doing in politics? But you already answered
that's what
that.
Worries
well,
me.
The other unique thing is that this congressional district has the largest Native American component of any congressional district in the nation. And you both know that I was born on and raised on White Mountain Apache Nation. And so it's a unique combination to have that tribal experience, and also lived in Flagstaff. I was a prosecutor and bring that dynamic to the district that's so diverse.
We didn't do a bio this time, and I love your bio because it's obviously very much like when you and my late wife got together talking.
Oh, we really connected. We really did connect.
It was a pleasure to see, and through that, all through the old Arizona girls and the people they knew, and their dads owned businesses in the small towns, and what it was like, and going to high school, and all that early Arizona stuff that you see on Channel 8, and that I was watching live in front of me when you two guys got to get together and talk, and it happened three or four times, and it was one of my fondest memories.
Less than, 40% of the people living in Arizona were actually born in Arizona the way
you
were.
Oh, that's great. I mean, we welcome them.
I'm from Oklahoma.
We're so glad that you're here.
You've been, part of that was in that setting up the hard question, setting up with this woman I admire and has been close to. What's different? What did you learn last time? What's going to happen this time?
The biggest thing is people are going to know they have a choice. There's a very clear difference between me and Paul in terms of our positions, and that's what people know. So I support the National Scenic Area designation. He doesn't. I'm opposed to uranium mining at the Grand Canyon. He supports it. I support model forest health programs like the Four Forest Restoration Initiative, and his answer is to open up the forest to large-scale commercial logging. So that's just an example of what we're going to be talking about. But it's also a very grassroots campaign and an energy and excitement at a very local level that I honestly have not seen before. Now, so it's going to be a very different campaign.
Yeah, we're going to be continuing the conversation with Ann next week. So tune in. Mike's got some announcements. We got a lot of exciting Democratic sort of stuff going on.
October 21st at the Hilton. Please go to the Democrats of the Red Rocks website. October 21st, we are having the Truman Clinton Dinner. Arizona Congressman Raul Grijalva will be there as a guest speaker. Rodney Glassman, a former candidate, will be there. And we'll have some musical guests. We also have the Door Breakfast coming up.
The Door Breakfast is drawing a blank nose. October 17th.
Fatan Goshen.
And we're having Fatan Goshen. She's born in Lebanon. She went to American University in Lebanon. She got her PhD.
That would be October 20th.
The University of Michigan.
October 20th, just to get the date straight.
That's right. You can't trust me without my iPad.
Exactly.
All right, folks. So visit our website, vvid.org. All of our interviews are there, available as podcast. We've had, about 6 months now of interviews. We hope to keep going and going and going. And
we look forward. We're going to do a recap show. We have put together a wonderful body of progressive thought.
Thank you very much for tuning in.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.